Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
Welcome to week three of our sermon series called Marriage Matters, where the goal, as you guys know, is to show you the deeper, more spiritual side of what it means to be married, and then based on that, to get very practical regarding what it looks like to do marriage well, so that whether you're married now or hope to be married someday, you can begin to learn what it means not just to survive, but to thrive as you go about living your lives together. And so in week one, to set the foundation for this series, we learned that marriage is way bigger than just two people becoming one, and that marriage, when done right, is a sacred and holy relationship where in giving ourselves to loving and being loved by our spouses, we are also giving ourselves to loving and being loved by God. Then last week, we got into how thriving in marriage is ultimately about giving up on this myth of happily ever after, which we do by lowering our expectations or realizing that our lives are not a fairy tale. People are not perfect, and even the best marriages are filled with a whole lot of mess. Because if we'll do that, we will find that even through the difficulty and craziness of trying to do life with someone else, that being married can also be one of the greatest, most meaningful experiences of our lives, or something that makes our lives so much better. And yet, now that you're seeing all of that, what I would like for us to do today is to get really, really practical. And the way I'd like us to do that is I'm going to share with you some of the things that I have a really hard time with, some of the things that I continue to work on, with my hope being that my failures, the things that I continue to work on, can help you not to make the same mistake that I have over and over again. So, the first thing that I'm slowly but surely learning about how to do marriage well and yet still not very good at is you can either be right or you can be happily married. You can be right or you can be happily married, but most of the time you can't be both. And what I mean with this statement is you can either be the kind of person who comes in and takes over a marriage because, of course, you are the one who has everything figured out, so your spouse just needs to listen to you, or you can learn to compromise. Because the truth is, no matter how logical or how good your skills of persuasion may be, when it comes to a whole lot of stuff that you see as the truth and nothing but the truth, guess what? Your spouse is going to disagree with you. And the reason they're going to disagree with you is not because they're morons, even though that's what you think in the moment, let's be honest. No, the reason these disagreements happen is because they see the world completely differently than you do. Or because they grew up in a particular time and place within a particular family system, and because their experiences are different from your experiences, but most importantly, because they are of the opposite sex, no matter how hard you try, they are not going to see and make sense of the world in the same way that you do. Which, by the way, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because guess what? God created them to be who they are, not who you are or who you want them to be. And remember, the reason God did that is because that's what it takes to make up the body of Christ. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. In that for God to use us for his purposes of bringing heaven to earth, we can't all think the same, but instead have been created with different gifts, talents, interests, and way of thinking, so that when we come together, we can work for his bigger purpose." For example, and this is just something to kind of help you get your mind around this, people who work in law enforcement can't think like ministers. And the reason they can't think like ministers is because ministers are usually pretty good at giving people the benefit of the doubt, showing a lot of grace, because that's what the job requires. That's what we're called to do. But when you think about it, when it comes to a cop, that's a way of thinking that could end up getting them killed because they let their guard down for the wrong person. Well, the same is true in a different kind of way when it comes to your spouse, and that God didn't create them to see the world the way you do, but created them to see the world according to God's purpose for their lives. And so practically speaking, what that means is you can either keep fighting with your spouse about those things where in your mind they are completely wrong and be angry and miserable all the time, or you can learn to compromise and figure out what it means to work as a team. But in my experience, you can't have both, at least not all of the time. And yet what I would also like to propose to you, to take this logic even further, is instead of seeing your spouse and all of their wacky ideas as a problem to either solve or you just put up with them, because let's be honest, we do this all the time. What if you saw it as an opportunity to expand your understanding of the world? Or what if instead of just writing your spouse off, you actually took the way they see the world seriously, knowing that the way they see the world, even though it's different from you, gives them the ability to see some things that you might miss. Gives them the ability to solve problems in ways that would have never even occurred to you. Or what if you understood your spouse's perspective of the world as basically gaining another set of eyes for yourself, where instead of fighting about a big decision that has to be made, you come together or you work as a team to make that decision? And even more than that, I think a big part of the reason that God calls us to get married is not just to have someone to do life with, but it's to have someone who loves us and who wants what's best for us to help us think through and wrestle with the big decisions of life. And also, we don't end up doing something stupid or we don't make a horrible decision. Or I don't know about you guys, but my decisions have gotten way better since I got married. You guys have no idea how my wife feels during this whole sermon series. She just sits over there in the corner, red. You can either be right or you can be happily married. There you go. The second thing that I have learned, which is something that I have learned mentally but still have a lot of work to do, is that if you want your marriage to thrive, you've got to throw out the scorecard. You've got to throw out the scorecard. And what I mean by the scorecard is a mindset where partners keep tally of who's doing more, who's sacrificing more, who's putting in the most or pulling their weight. Or how many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you happen to be the official scorekeeper of your marriage? Anybody? It's funny that every time I ask that question in every service, nobody raises their hand. Because that means all of you are a bunch of liars, because I know we do this stuff all the time, right? So you gotta get rid of the scorecard. So to give you an example of this, and this is a place where I see it early on in marriage, is so you have the breadwinner, and they go off to work, so they feel like they're putting in a whole lot of time at work to provide for the family, while the caretaker is able to stay at home and have fun with the kids all day long, so they think that's not fair. But here's the funny thing about that particular thing. When the caretaker is exhausted from taking care of the kids 24/7, 365, because you don't get a break from that job, by the way, they end up getting mad at the breadwinner because they get to go to work and spend some time with adults away from the children, or they actually get a break. And so guess what? Both sides are feeling like they get the bad end of the stick because their part is harder. And of course, where this kind of scorekeeping eventually leads to, if not dealt with, is a whole lot of resentment and festering anger. And some of you are actually dealing with this right now. You're holding on to something right now. And what that culminates in is the couple finally airing their grievances in a not so nice way. And of course, that's just one example among thousands of ways that we like to keep score, right? Because there's also things like household task, the way we spend our time, there's finances, there's affection and intimacy. But the thing that Ashley and I are struggling with these days are parental duties. Who's going to pick up this child at this time? Guess what? I picked her up 14 times this week. What have you done? We go back and forth with this stuff over. And don't act like you guys are better than we are. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know who you are. I know exactly who you guys are in the midst of all of this. And so for me, I think what we have to do to get rid of these scorecards, really, for the most part, that do nothing but make us miserable. I know so many miserable people because of the scorecard. Is first of all, we need to come to terms with the fact that life is not fair. So why would you expect your marriage to be any different? Which, by the way, life is not fair, but it's way fairer to most of us than it is to most people in the world. So keep that in mind as I'm going through this. In that if you'll just accept your marriage as it is, in that at different times and different places, it's not going to be fair because life is not fair. That's going to help you relax and accept your life and your marriage for what it is, instead of being angry and mad because it's not what you expect it to be. But most importantly, what you need to do when you start to feel this way is, instead of continuing to sit around festering about how unfair things are until something eventually blows up, you need to sit down with your spouse and have a calm, rational conversation explaining what you feel and why you feel that way, and then offer some solutions that you think are fair. Then listen to what your spouse thinks about that situation and make a plan. Because what happens most of the time when you approach it in this way is you find that it really is possible to come up with a plan that both of you can agree on, that both of you think is fair, making your lives a whole lot better. And yet for me, one of the biggest things that we've got to learn about how marriage really works is coming to terms with the fact that marriage is not something that you can figure out. I'm going to say that again. That needs to sit. Marriage is not something you can figure out. No, marriage is a journey that you're always figuring out. Or marriage is not about completing a task, but a dynamic, evolving relationship where what matters most is the continual process of learning to adapt and adjust while staying deeply engaged with one another, even when it gets hard. Or to see this, what I want you to do is I want you to think back to when you were a teenager and how you made sense of the world and what you thought about yourself at that time in life. Now what I want you to do is do the same thing, but now think back to when you're in your 20s. Now think about who you were in your 30s. And just keep going until you reach today. Now, for some of you, you're going to be here for a while on that, but I'm not going to point that out. Now, what you're going to notice about yourself when you begin to think in this way is that who you were as a teenager is drastically different than who you were in your 20s. And who you were in your 30s is drastically different than who you were in your 20s. And on you can go to where you reach the point where you are now. And so, if that's the way life works, in that you are constantly evolving and changing as you grow older, then why in the world would you ever think that being married to another person who is going through the same process somehow creates a marriage where it's possible to figure it out? And even more than that, how many of you can truly say that you have yourselves figured out? Or you're the kind of person who just knows who you are and why you do what you do all the time? Well, again, if you can't even figure yourself out and all the craziness that's going on up there, then why in the world do you think you could figure out this thing called marriage? And so what that puts into perspective is, if you want to do marriage and do it well, then part of what that looks like is you need to get past the notion that it's even possible to get it figured out. You're never going to get it figured out. And instead, learn how to settle in and make peace with the fact that marriage is something that both of you are going to be trying to figure out until the day you die, because marriage is a journey. It's not a destination. But even with all of that being said, or even now, that you're starting to at least get a picture of what it looks like to do marriage well. For me, the most important thing you have to remember and live into if you want your marriage to thrive, which we've already touched on in the last couple of weeks, but it's that foundational. We come back to it again. You've got to understand that good marriages have to be founded in love. But not in the kind of love that we see on the big screens or the kind of love that is filled with hormones, although it's part of that. Now, the kind of love that you need to thrive in marriage is the kind of love that you choose every single day, whether you feel like it or not. Where you give yourselves to wanting and working towards your spouse's mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. That's what love is, right? According to the New Testament, that's what love is. Wanting and working towards your spouse's mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. Or as 1 Corinthians 13 puts it, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, because love never ends. And I promise you, if you will give yourself to the hard work of loving your spouse day in and day out, in the long run, you're going to find that it makes for a pretty spectacular marriage. And even more than that, a great life. Because that's what it actually takes. It's what it actually looks like to do marriage and do it well, where instead of just thinking about what you need and what you can get out of the relationship, you actually give yourself every single day to being the kind of person who devotes yourself, your life, to loving and serving your spouse with everything that you are. Come on, people. Let's just be honest about this. When we wake up in the morning, we're not thinking about our spouses. We're thinking about all the things, all the checklists that we have to do in that day. What if we changed our tune? What if we stopped thinking so much about ourselves? And I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. What if we got up in the morning and a big part of what we're called to do is to say, what can I do to serve and love my spouse today? And how many of you would like to be married to a spouse who woke up and said that? Right? Do you see how this works all the way around? This is how you create an incredible marriage and an incredible life for yourselves. And yet, now that we have spent the last 3 weeks learning and wrestling with what it means to do marriage well, the surprise that I have for you guys next week to wrap up this sermon series in a way that I think brings it all together is I'm going to bring in an expert, someone who knows way more than I do because they have been married for 58 years. That's right. Their marriage is 10 years older than I am. Think about that. I can't even imagine being married for that long. Or I would really like to encourage all of you to come back and listen as Pastor Bill Johnson, some of you might know him. He's going to tell us about how Lois Ann has been putting up with him over the last 58 years and how they have created this incredible life together. And I promise you, it's not something that you want to miss. It's something that, again, will transform your lives and make your lives and your marriages even better. Let us pray. Father, again, we are so grateful for an opportunity to wrestle with what it means to do marriage well, what it means to do relationship well. And so today, oh Lord, the first thing that we have to admit is we can't do any of this by ourselves. We are dependent on you in everything. And so Holy Spirit, guide and direct us to become the kind of spouses that you're calling us to be. The kind of spouses whose first thought in the morning is, how do I love and care for my partner? How do I love and care for the one that I have chosen to do my life with? And the ways we go about that is we get rid of the scorecard, Lord. We learn how to compromise. So Lord, help us. Not just to make our marriages and our families better by giving ourselves to this, but help us to understand that when we do that, that love that develops in the midst of all of that is something that can also pour out into the world and do even bigger things for the sake of those around us. Lord, we ask all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.